Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckanize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, this is it. We're Redneckanize Radio coming at you. We are live here. This is Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. We're also on YouTube Live and we're on Facebook Live. We appreciate everybody watching along here. But if you want to join the conversation, you got to call in. Like I said, 516-387-1733. The infrastructure bill just passed Congress this last week, and the president's going to sign it Monday, according to the news and all that. And I was just going to dive into it and kind of spell out a few things that really doesn't mean much. It you know, I mean, I'm just kind of like going over the numbers, and it didn't do anything. You know, all it really did was spend money on things that normally they don't spend money on when they talk about infrastructure, whether it be, you know, special bridges or internet or stuff like that. Just like I said, I'll go over that stuff. But also, too, I found a pretty cool video, interesting, really, about the shipping carriers with the, you know, shipping container carriers and all that. And that kind of stuff, just, it was amazing to me that different things that they thought about when they think about, like, shipping containing companies, the shipping container companies and the big ships and all that related to the trucking carriers. And they spelled out some differences, and they talked to a few truck carrier owners and all that. So I thought it was really interesting the way they thought about that stuff. So I was going to just think about things like that and see how people might find that interesting. I thought it was. So anything like that, you know, we'll get right along there. But other than that, we're just talking about, you know, trucking in general. If you want to, like I said, anything you want to talk about, just let us know. And we're glad to get things going along here. Like I said, you can check us out, redneckandize.com. And don't forget to check out a few of our great sponsors. One we'd like to thank is DPF Regeneration. Those guys have been with us since the beginning. And, you know, I mean, if you're a big fan of the show and you know a lot of people that we know in the trucking industry, you know that DPF Regeneration supports a lot of the stuff that goes on, the truck shows and entertainment and everything in that regards. So DPF Regeneration, if you guys don't know, they're the ones that sell all those special, like, SCR units, EGR coolers, catalyst mufflers, diesel particulate filters, all that kind of stuff. And you can even send your filter to them, and then they'll clean it in their special laboratories and then get it back to you. It's pretty interesting stuff. You can give them a call at 800-634-3010 or check them out at dpfregeneration.com. And when you talk to them, make sure you let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really, really do appreciate them. So we're just kind of trucking a lot along here and, like I said, get things going. So, like I said, listen along, call in, 516-387-1733. Redneck and Eyes Radio. I'm going to go to the hospital.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and I's. Redneck and I's, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. Like I said, we're live here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733 to be part of the conversation. And like I said, we're just trucking right along. That's what we do is we talk about the trucking industry and what's happening in the world today and, you know, really anything any drivers want to talk about and that concerns them. Anybody doesn't know about Redneck and I's, we started out going to the truck show out there in Louisville, Kentucky, and that's pretty much been our main gig here for the last going on, what, 8-9 years now. The pandemic's kind of screwed us up on that, so not real sure about keeping up with everything on that, how it goes. But other than that, we've been trying to get the word out to everybody about Redneck and I's and about what we do at the truck show, where we really just set up a tent and kind of cook food and kind of create that little camaraderie of just a group of truckers being able to get together and have a good time. When we first got to the truck show, actually, we met there. That's the first time that we ever met each other in person. So when we first got there, a group of truckers, we kind of just wandered into the truck parking lot over there. What do they call it? The one, it used to be Papa John's, now it's the Cardinal Stadium parking lot. That's where we started. We kind of just wandered over there. You kind of park wherever you're kind of trying to find a place. What really messed us up was a couple of drivers came over there, walked over to our trucks and said, hey, you're parked the wrong way. You need to park a different way. And come to find out, we really shouldn't have done that. It was really silly the way we parked. And we should have, you know, done it differently. But what we all try to do is kind of, you know, come together and do what's best for the parking lot and everything. And we don't really want to, the driver just kind of told us to park to where he wanted us parked. That way it would create a situation where he could, you know, be able to like rope off an area for himself and everything. So it's kind of weird. But what we do is we get over there and we kind of set up in a corner and try to stay everybody's way and create more parking spots by, you know, compacting everything together. We were told to do that by the people that were actually in charge of the show. So we did that. And now it's like, you know, everybody loves it. We set up a big tent. We got a big grill. Last year we had, or not last year, but 2019, when I talk about last year, 2019, we had a stage. It started raining. We just moved everything in the tent. So everything was great. This year we're hoping to be even bigger, but you never know. We just kind of go with the flow on that. We will have a booth inside. We've already set that stuff up, so that's going to be a great thing. And we appreciate everybody's support for helping us get that done. And that's just been truckers coming together and raising the money, getting sponsors, stuff like that. So when 2020 hit and everything got canceled, that's all we had was a truck show. So what are we going to do? You know, we need to stay relevant. The sponsors want us to be relevant and everything. So we started, hey, you know what, we're on social media already. Let's go ahead and create something where we can be on social media more. And then we found Unplugged Radio Network, and they said, hey, you guys can come on here and do a weekly show. And I was like, hey, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. So here we are. And it's going on about 6 months now that we've been, you know, kind of staying regular on this. And I really enjoy it, talking about trucking and staying up to date on what's going on in the trucking industry and trying to just learn a lot of stuff. You just never know. So stuff like that is really great. We will be getting, like I said, ready for the show. We've already started doing that, and we've had meetings with the volunteers and members of our group here, and just try to get things squared away where we're going to be ready. You know, if anybody wants to be part of that, like I said, just give us a holler. We got emails and everything. We just go to our website. You can see that there's information how to get a hold of us and everything. You just give us a holler on there if you want to try to help out with that. You know, we we're always interested in people wanting to help out and get along and everything. And if you got any plans for sponsors or anything like that, anybody wants to, you know, help us out with financing, that's great too, because that's the hardest part, is raising money, because for the last 8 years, it's just been us truckers. You know, we've just been pulling our own money together, and only recently here have we had sponsors that have been able to help us out in really good ways. And that's, you know, we just want to try to make them happy and let them get the word out for them and everything like that. And speaking of which, well, might as well go ahead and talk about one of our sponsors, and that's the Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app. So those guys, you know, they came to us because they said, you know, hey, we're just trying to get the word out to everybody. We're new and nobody really knows us and everything, but, you know, we're like an all-in-one app. So I started messing with it, and it was really cool. So it's basically one of those things where you can book freight and track freight, right? But it also has ways where you can find like maintenance facilities, or you can find fuel stops, get the fuel prices, stuff like that. And it's also even got a place where you can find parking. They've teamed up with a couple of people that provides parking where the landowners or parking lot owners can upload that they've got spots available, and then let the drivers know, and you can do that through the Trucker Tools app. And it's been great stuff. I'm not really sure how the technology has been worked out since I haven't used the parking system yet, but hey, you know, whatever helps, I think. But the cool part about it is Trucker Tools, you download it off the App Store. Like if you've got, you know, the Google Play or App Store, you download the app from there. And then once you're signed in and everything, and then what they really like is they like when you review it, when you tell them what you think about the app when you're using it. And a lot of times if something may not be working right with it being your phone or whatever system you're using, or maybe an internet signal, whatever, they'll always try to go in and help out. They're really quick responsive for that. And that's really good that they do that. So check them out at truckertools.com, or like I said, download their app and then give them a good review. Let them know what you think and make sure it's detailed, where you tell them exactly what you're doing with the app. That way they know, you know, where to put, you know, more power or more technology in that respect. And like I said, when you do those reviews, you let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate them. And those guys there, like I said, they're new, but we hope to keep them around for a while. They like truckers and they like doing trucking stuff. So we like that. So other than that, we're just kicking back. And we're talking about the infrastructure bill. I didn't really know too much about what was going on with that. You know, you always hear what the media, the news tells you, and come to find out, it's not that much. It doesn't do what the federal government's already doing for roads and bridges, you know, in that respect. So we'll dive into that a little bit later. And then, like I said, there was a video on CNBC put a video out on YouTube about the trucking freight, like trucking carriers, and then the shipping carriers, like with the ships and the shipping containers. They're totally different industries, but why? Why is that? Because they do basically the same thing. And that was pretty interesting. And I posted that, I shared that on the Facebook page for the Redneck and I's. And if you had a chance to look at that, we really do appreciate you checking those things out. And again, we're just trying to get the word out. You go over to subscribe to our YouTube channel and do that. You can also like a Facebook page, follow us on Instagram. We got a Twitter, you know, so whatever social media you're on most of the time, you know, if we're not somewhere, you know, give us a holler. We got a TikTok account, but we don't use it. I mean, you know, we're truck drivers. We got jobs to do. We ain't got enough time to be sitting there making videos all day. Anyway, just give us a holler. Like I said, 516-387-1733. And don't forget to check out, like I said, our website, redneckandeyes.com, and go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really do appreciate all that stuff like that. Let's see. There we go. And we're going to step away here and come right back and talk about some few things and take some calls. So let's do it. Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Oh, you like the way that sounds. Up his Bronco, lay a little rubber later on at the truck pull. And all the girls are getting pretty, they're spraying on the white rain. Yeah, they're gonna get rowdy tonight, down at football game. The neighbor's butt crack, nailing on his shingles, and his woman smoking Pall Malls, watching Laura Ingalls. And Granny's getting left, she's heading out to bingo. Yeah, my buddies in the ear going mudding down on Blue Hole Road. You know we let it fail.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particular filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Knives Radio. Appreciate everybody joining along and just hanging out. Like I said, check us out, redneckandknives.com. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel and go like, subscribe to that. Really do appreciate it. It's been growing a lot. Really, really good growing there, so we appreciate all that. And then also, like I said, don't forget to go, like I said, check us out. Well, I said that already, right? Redneckandknives.com is our website. It's got links all to our social media accounts, even YouTube. Please subscribe to there. And again, I want to thank another one of our great sponsors. If I haven't done already, it's LTR Transportation. That's Load to Ride Transportation. It's a good-sized trucking company based out of Denver, Colorado. Those guys over there, when I first got onto their website, I was shocked because I didn't expect it to be so cool. It's got just all the good links and everything. It's even got a way that you can directly chat with a recruiter. Or somebody to even, you know, get some shipping done or whatever. But I just like their trucks. I think their trucks look cool, and they got some new trailers and all that. But they've got everything on the website here. It's got, like, they do expedited, they do special handling, they hazmat, temperature protection, all that stuff. So if you're looking for a carrier, truckers out there, if you're looking for a different carrier to check out, and maybe you live in the area, or, you know, maybe give them a holler and see where they run. You never know. You can call them at 720-277-0030 or check them out at ltrtransportation.com. And like I said, when you talk to them, you tell them appreciate them supporting Redneck and Knives, because we do appreciate them. So getting into some things, one of the things that like I said, happened in as far as trucking goes, not much is going on except for the infrastructure that everybody's been talking about. And so what they've been talking about is they've been talking about how the infrastructure was bipartisan and everybody supports it. And of course, when you say roads and bridges, no one says no, right? Everybody wants to pay for roads and bridges. So diving into it, I looked it up and I said, well, how much does the federal government spend on roads and bridges every year? And so the Highway Trust Fund, it gets about, I hope it's over here. Here it is. It gets about 50-something billion a year. And then it only withdraws 45 billion. So it says here, this was back in March of 2021. It says Highway Trust Fund outlays total 58 billion a year, but highway spending is only 45 billion a year. Now, so that's what the Highway Trust Fund for the federal government is. Now, it doesn't really say that the federal government spends, like, it doesn't have does it do federal infrastructure? Does it actually say, hey, spend that money? And as far as what's supposed to happen is they're supposed to automatically, they're like, that money just gets divvied out automatically. So then I wondered, well, how much does, like, the U.S. in general, like everybody, like whether it be states, whatever. So it says here, it says in 2018, all the states, every single state totaled up as of 2018, every single state spent a total of like $180 billion, 187. It says, how much do state and local governments spend on highways and roads? Well, in 2018, state and local governments spent $187 billion, or it was 6% of their direct general spending on highways and roads. And the infrastructure bill, it's had like over a little over 100 is what it did. Now, what we don't know, and what we don't really know that details because they never really explain it that well, is how long does that go? Like if it was $110 billion they set aside for roads and bridges in one bill like that, is it just for the year? Or is it spread out over years? Because they tell you when they're trying to pass, like, you know, a big $3 trillion deal, they say, well, that's over 10 years. Well, what is this 110 that they just said they're going to spend on roads and bridges? What's it for? So in general, we don't know exactly, but in my opinion, it just doesn't do that much. When you figure all the states together and the cities, you know, everybody that works on roads, it's a total of $187 billion. So I'm figuring that's 187, and then they get an additional 45. I'm not real sure. Like if they're doing 187, and then let's just say that there's another 45 being thrown in it every year. Well, if they did 110, does that 110 in addition to the 45 that they already spend, or is that 110 so that's like, okay, we'll spend twice as much this year as we do every year? And then what we don't know is we don't know who gets it, who gets all that money. You know, so all of us truckers out here, what I assume is that they divvy that money to whoever the political people are that want it the most, like, you know, whoever has the power. So a lot of it goes to, you know, the big cities where they don't have to pay for it, or it might go to, you know, it doesn't go to where it's needed. You know, we know that because we see it all the time. So I just don't think it did anything. And, all those other things that they say it does as far as the infrastructure and everything, it's nothing. It's nothing. You know, it's a bunch of money being spent for nothing. And that's, you know, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. You know, or that's all I got to say about that kind of thing, right? But to me, what I don't like is I don't like it when we're supposed to be paying in a tax. Every time you go buy gas or you go buy diesel fuel, the tax gets paid in, or you go buy tags, or you go pay tolls. It all supposed to be paid into that highway trust fund. And then the highway trust fund is supposed to be divvied out to who, like I said, I don't know. Is it the Department of Transportation decides who gets it? Where is it needed? You know, if you ask truck drivers, what they'll tell you is the highway trust fund money, any money that gets spent on taxes should go back to the location where that tax was purchased. So when nobody buys fuel in New Jersey because New Jersey's prices of diesel is too high, they all buy it in Pennsylvania. Well, then Pennsylvania ought to get that money. You know, and if Jersey doesn't like it that they don't get that much money, then they need to do something. They need to figure out what they're doing wrong. And, you know, just like the IFTA kind of thing, you know, I traveled so many miles. You know, that's what, pretty much what it is they want to tell you you owe the state that much money in tax because you traveled that many miles. So they divide that up like that. So, and you know, maybe everybody should do IFTA. You know, what do you call Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, whatever the hell he was. He wanted to do that. He wanted everybody, even the cars, to have an IFTA where you had to pay. To me, I think what he wanted is he wanted IFTA to be, or he wanted like the truckers, not only to pay an IFTA to each state or to pay like an IFTA miles traveled to the federal government. You know, they just want more money. But like I said, we don't think, as truck drivers, we don't think that they're spending it in places that they need to. You know, if you're out there traveling between like, you know, Denver and St. Louis, and you're paying the federal tax, which is 24.5 cents a gallon, and then you're paying the IFTA as well, which is each state's tax, which they're supposed to get and keep, I guess. But that federal money you're paying, that 24 cents a gallon that you're paying, you know, where's that going? Who's getting that? And in my opinion, that should be divvied out to the states that you were there. I drove through Colorado. So really there shouldn't be a federal tax, you know, and if there should be a tax on federal, just so you can fund the DOT, you know, federal, like if you need somebody to pay the salary of the FMCSA people, then okay, a penny, a nickel a gallon, that's all it should be. Everything else should be going to the states. States work on the roads. States need to be getting the money. But paying the federal government money so they can divvy it out to each state, they only divvy it out to the states that have the power, the politicians. You know, we know that. We see it all the time. You see it when we go to a city in the middle of nowhere and they've got a brand new bridge, you know, and it's like, did you build this bridge? You know, look at some of the projects that they paid for, like in Chicago. You know, you got interstate side by side and both of them are jam packed full of people. And you can't even get on or off the highway right there, you know, and then they turned one into a toll. So naturally nobody's on the toll road. Everybody's on the other road, you know? So those kind of things, you know, truckers look at it. We know what you guys are doing, keeping all that money that we're paying out, buying fuel and paying the tax, you know, and hey, that's part of the business, part of what we got to do. We can't, if we protest anything about that, we just get in trouble. That's the way it goes. So I was just doing some math, and I think one time there was a total of 3 million big trucks out on the road traveling down the highway every year. And let's just assume that they're all doing 100,000 miles a year, which that's a low ball, right? Let's see, I did it on this calculator right here. So yeah, I did some figuring, and like I said, if that's 3 million trucks doing 100,000 miles, that's 300 billion miles being driven every year. Now we can bump that up to 4 because we know we're doing more, and there's probably 30% of those trucks are probably team trucks, but just doing 300 billion miles. And let's say that all the trucks are getting 7 miles at a gallon. Some are getting better. Some are getting less. Well, that's 42.8 billion gallons of fuel. 42.8 billion gallons of fuel annually being purchased by big trucks. And that's probably on the low side. You can probably bump that up to 55 or 60. But even if you did that, let's just say 60. What did I say? 60 billion. And you did that's $14 billion. That's all that is. $14.7 billion a year in fuel tax only. Okay. Now, like one of our good founders, Greg, was talking about, the other thing that we have to pay in is we have to pay in the heavy use tax, which is $5.50. And so 3 million trucks paying $5.50. You know, that's what did I say that was? I did the math on that too. So that's 1.6 billion. So you're up around 16, 17 billion paid in by big trucks. And that's, they say there's like 50 billion paid into the highway trust fund. Fifty something billion. Annually. That was down here somewhere. Where is it? There it is. Nope, that's not it. Anyway, it was 45. I think it was 54, 55 billion was paid into the highway trust fund, and 58, and then 45 was spent. Well, probably about 20 billion of it is all big trucks, and that's 3 million big trucks. So think about how many cars are out there paying for gas. They're probably paying for most of it, but that's still, you're talking about 3 million trucks paying almost half of the total infrastructure highway trust fund. And that's not to mention when you buy a new truck, you got to pay a tax on that. When you buy tires, there's a tax on that. When you get tags or anything like that, there's a tax on that. And then there's the hut, which is different. So that's a tax. There's that tax on that. And I would like to see, there's probably more involved in getting paid into as far as states go. But when it comes to federal, it's a lot of money. And $110 billion is what was in the current deal. We don't know if that's over one lump sum or a period of time or whatever. But the deal is that we don't know where that's going. And it's not going to do anything if it's going to all these like places that the politicians think it's needed. You know, if it was going to the actual federal highways and going into like widening highways, creating like, you know, hurricane evacuation routes, or special, access roads or something along the interstate, something to make the interstate better, because the interstates is where the big trucks are. If anybody out there looks at it, like there should be some type of special circumstances for truck stops to be built out on the roads, out on the highways. Those are the ones, that's where we need truck parking. Okay. When you build a shopping mall or a Walmart, or in Texas, a Buc-ee's on the highway, on the interstate, and you don't let big trucks park there overnight when the parking lot's empty, then you're taking away that parking that's needed. That along the interstate, that's where the parking is needed. And then we don't even know if that tax revenue, that's not going to the federal government. You know, if you want the amount of money paid into the trust fund to go up, then you need to create better fuel stops, better fuel prices. You know, when a truck driver has to get fuel in a certain state, they think about it. They think about, I'm going to get it in this state because the taxes are more or cheaper or less depending on what I do. So what we do is we figure out where's the cheapest. And sometimes the cheapest ain't necessarily cheapest on the board. It's just cheap. If you take away the tax, you see it's cheaper. And a lot of times, like what they'll tell you sometimes is you get fuel in Illinois instead of in Missouri when you go through St. Louis because the taxes are higher. So you pay more tax at the pump, but then you're traveling most of your miles in Missouri, which is the tax is cheaper. So in the long run, when you figure the money is, you paid out. So what happens is when you do the monthly or quarterly, whatever, you figure that, you know what, I already paid it. When I bought the fuel, I paid the tax. That money just gets transferred over to the state, to the different states. But in the end, it's a wash. So what you're looking for is the cheapest fuel without the tax, is what we're always trying to do. And a lot of times we want to buy it in certain places. Most of the truck drivers out there, they don't do it that way. They just see, hey, cheap by the pump. When I look at it, one side of the bridge is, one side of the river is Missouri. The other side of the river is Illinois. The fuel's cheaper in Missouri. I'm going to buy it because according to the price, it's cheaper. I'm going to do that. And see, in IFTA, it doesn't matter because when you do the report, you've got to pay Illinois. If you go to Illinois, you got to pay Illinois. If you got to, you know, whatever you got to do. A lot of truckers out there, they don't drive in Illinois. They don't go to to Indiana. They don't go to Kentucky. You know, they don't go to Oregon. They don't go to those states because the way they do things, the way they charge their tax. Like Oregon, they don't even charge tax at the pump. You got to pay it when you drive and when you do your report. Then you got to have a special permit. They're just totally different. They just want to do things different. And it's a pain in the butt. So, you know, a lot of drivers, they don't even want to mess with it. And, you know, it's just silly, stupid. Kentucky is the same way. They not only do they do the IFTA where you pay the tax at the pump, but they still got an additional travel tax where you got to pay more money when you drive in Kentucky. So it's cheap. You know, it's not that much, but it's still, it's two things. It's paying at the pump, doing the IFTA, and also fill out a report and pay the tax, the extra miles travel tax, which they do it in the same report. You know, they say, oh, yeah, we'll just, you know, you traveled 100 miles in Kentucky. Well, you paid in so much money and it's called transfer, but you also owe us another $50 or whatever it is. You know, they just add it on top, you know, so you're always paying money to Kentucky if you travel a lot in Kentucky. So it's just silly. Like I said, but the states, that's where they should be getting the money. States should be getting the money. It's a vicious circle when you got to pay the federal government money and then they get to decide where that money goes. And a lot of times it doesn't go to the right places. You know, I always thought it was kind of funny that they were building down in Louisiana, they were building a highway like out in the middle of nowhere. And they had those Obama bailout logos, you know, where they were saying, hey, this is your tax dollars being spent, and this is what's being spent on. And it was this road that, you know, the only reason you needed that road is to get to the Walmart, you know, and it was heavily construction, and it was one of those crazy red light turns where everything was weird and it was confusing. But then you go down the road to Baton Rouge and they got the bridge shut down because somebody had an accident and there's no other bridge to cross the Mississippi down there at all. So instead of creating another road that hardly anybody uses, why don't y'all build another bridge down in Baton Rouge? You know, why don't y'all build a bridge, a better bridge or a bigger bridge or a stronger bridge in Memphis? You know, I mean, why isn't there any bridges being built down in south across Mississippi? You know, Interstate 20, you know, it's been a while since I've been on that bridge, but I mean, it's always been a regular two-lane highway, and it has never gotten widened through there, and it's always a bottleneck sometimes because it's a ducking and diving where, you know, you go across the bridge and you got to take a hard curve to the left, you know, things like that. That's what needs to be fixed, and it's not getting fixed because the federal government doesn't see it fit to transfer that money down there because they get to do whatever they want. And, you know, what do we pay? It costs like $100 to cross to George Washington. And then not only that, I mean, I'm assuming they're getting all kinds of good funding because that's a good bridge. That's a big bridge and gets a lot of traffic. And I'm sure they got a lot of money. They should be getting a lot of money for all the tolls they charge. But you know, the executives that are in charge of that sucker, they're living in a lap of luxury, I'll tell you that, because that's a lot of money going into that bridge. You know, and again, that's the only bridge. There's other bridges, but they're out of the middle of nowhere, or they're too hard to access, you know, or they're just too busy, you know. And then they don't want to create, you know. Y'all remember what's his old Mayor Pete was on there talking about how roads were racist because of the bridge heights and stuff like that. Well, I tell you what, they don't like trucks because you go across interstate. If you're on 95 and you need to get to New England, you go through the George Washington Bridge. Well, if there's an accident, it's backed up. The only other way to go is if you go over Staten Island, and that I've been across that and I've moved pretty good. The problem is it, like you said, it ducks and dives and curves and does all that stuff. And it's hard to just get a big truck through there sometimes because of all the traffic. And then, like I said, it's an old road. So it curves real hard around. I mean, dude, come on now. We need a way to get through there, you know, without it causing too much problems. I'm sure that you can figure out a way to you know, build the roads to make it a little easier, but they don't want to do it. You know, that one road, I forget the name of the highway, but it goes over into Long Island and it crosses down and it goes under the Brooklyn Bridge. And I mean, at one time I was like, man, I should be in the middle lane. It's right lane. It's real close to that wall. And that wall is real, real short. And it's like, they don't, you know, what? I don't even know why. They got tons of money. Why don't they fix this? You know, make it a little better. Maybe reroute this interstate somewhere. And you can't get off. You can't get rerouted where you can get on a better road because all the bridges are too low. You know, watch out for the bridges. Bridges are all too low. Too low. But they don't like big trucks. Man, oh, man. But, yeah, the infrastructure ain't doing nothing. I don't think it's going to do nothing. It's going to be, you know, everybody's going to get paid that's in it. If you work up there in the DOT offices in the states or even in the federal government, you're going to make a lot of money because a lot of funding going your way that doesn't necessarily need, because just seems that you see a lot of highway projects year in, year out, and there's not a lot of money that goes to it. So I can't see any more projects. I mean, there's a lot of projects going out there in the, you know, in the highways. So that's just crazy to me. I don't know. What do you guys think? So we're just kind of kicking back here, relaxing. Shoot, man. I was watching a little football today, and a lot of drivers were upset with the vaccine mandates. And, of course, if anybody doesn't know, the NFL, they don't have an actual vaccine mandate, but you're required to undergo testing and all that. And if you've been paying attention to the news, Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what he was doing. A reporter asked him if he was vaccinated, and he said, well, he'd been immunized. And the media flipped out, the NFL flipped out, all that stuff like that. Well, come to find out, he never lied to his boss. The team knew that he didn't get a vaccine. And what they're required to do is test. So he was testing, but what it come to find out, he wasn't testing all like every week or whenever he wasn't testing as much as he was supposed to. But everybody knew. You know, the only people that didn't know was the media. And they went crazy. You know? So when the media found out and they went crazy, and of course, you know, it was covered even on like MSNBC and Fox News, they were even covering it. And so I learned today, I was listening to the commentators, and they kind of gave their opinion of what was going on and what they knew and what they found out. And of course, during the week, Aaron Rodgers came out and he said, you know, basically I take responsibility for misleading people. He didn't necessarily apologize. He just says, you know, I may have misled you. Yeah. I understand that, you know, yeah, that's me. You know, I did that. And, what they wondered was everybody's like, well, he's risking the people at his work, all the people he works with, all of those other players, he's putting them at risk. And, so you wondered, was he really? So come to find out, when all of this went down, The other players actually contacted or talked with Aaron Rodgers directly and said, listen, everything's fine. You knew what you were doing. We knew what you were doing. You know, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. And I just thought that was interesting because, yeah, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Why do we give a damn about this? It's so stupid to care. You know, if you have the opportunity to get vaccinated, you get vaccinated, you're fine. Don't worry about anybody that doesn't get vaccinated. Because according to our information, you can still get it. Even though you're vaccinated, you're just not going to get as sick. Okay, so if somebody doesn't get vaccinated and they get it, but you're vaccinated, you can still get it. Doesn't matter. You're just not going to get as sick, according to the scientists. You know, you can still get it. You can even still pass it to another person. So that's, you know, There's a lot of people that say that the vaccinated people are putting other people at risk because, oh, I'm vaccinated. Well, then everything's fine. No, not everything's not fine, because if a non-vaccinated person comes into a contact with a vaccinated person, that unvaccinated person could get it from the vaccinated person. Isn't that crazy? But that's how it is. And but you know what's so funny is if you go and you called up all the people that weren't vaccinated and said, how do you feel like that? They're like, eh, it's all right. You know, I understand. I'm not freaking out. The only people that are freaking out are the vaccinated. Stop it. It's done. Okay. We're over it. It's over with. Get out of this. Okay. Just now here, like I said, coming down with the mandate, all the drivers, I'm talking the whole time and that camera wasn't on. So I was, you know, you talk with the drivers about the mandate coming down, the vaccine mandate for all the companies and workers and all that like that. I've talked to some truckers that work for other big carriers, and as far as I know, no one has been told by their carrier, hey, this is coming down the pipe, we're going to have to start doing this. No one. Now, if they did come out with any kind of mandate, they did it months ago. And they weren't really, they were just saying, hey, could you please, you know, it'd be good for you if you did. It would be better for everybody if you did, kind of thing. And but I haven't heard anybody come down the pipe saying, because of this law, we're going to have to start. And of course, everybody knew. The judges said, you can't do it. Put it off until January, that kind of thing. There's even more companies. It says here that there's been like these National Association of Business Owners and all that. They filed suit for the mandate. And that's like the small business owners and stuff like that. They've all filed suit to say that you can't do the mandate. So that's coming down the pipe. But again, it's over with. Okay. It's over with. Done and deal. You know, today the guy that was, United States Taxpayers Association vice chair or whatever. And he came on there and he talked about how the IRS or the Department of Treasury is talking about how, well, we really can't stop this inflation thing. We can't make the economy better until the pandemic is over. And it's like, yeah, it's over. Okay. It's done with, you know, you can't get anybody of power to say that. They can't say it. They won't say it. It's over with. We're done. Okay. Just as many people are dying of the flu, then, you know, I mean, it's crazy. The other thing is just, we're all tired of it. We got to get back to living. That's what it's all about, is living. You know, we got work to do out there. We're trying to do it. There's a couple of drivers that talked to me. They said that there's a couple of companies they go to that, you know, still have a mask requirement when you're in a certain area. But if you're out in the warehouse, it's not that big of a deal. If you're, they say, and a lot of times they put up a sign, if you're unvaccinated, please wear a mask, kind of thing. Or they give you a list of their rules, and this is their rules, and you got to abide by their rules. You know, and kind of the thing like that. And that's always the way it's been, you know, where you get to a customer where you got to get unloaded or whatever, and you got to abide by their rules, you know, whether you can't be on the dock or you got to give them your keys and all that like that. We just adjust, you know, truck drivers will just adjust to that, but it's done. We're just done with it. There's no need to make a fuss over it anymore. If you feel the need to get vaccinated, then go get vaccinated. If you don't, then don't. Okay. That's bottom line. It's nobody, you know, the going to the hospital thing is not that big of a deal either, because most people that get it don't go to the hospital. You know, the only people that go to the hospital is if you're already sick of something and then you get COVID and you can't recover because you're already sick. Those are the ones that go to the hospital. You know, the hospitals are not overwhelmed anymore. You know, so it's done. We're over with. It's done deal. So, I haven't met a person that said that's not true, that they say, no, we still got problems. I haven't met anybody that says that. Everybody I know is done with it. They're done with it, you know, so we're done. One of the other interesting things I was going to talk about real quick on the infrastructure, And that is, there is a provision in there saying that there, that the, like the auto manufacturers or somebody needs to come up with technology to eliminate drunk driving, like to prevent drunk driving. So they're trying to, there's going to be some, there's, I mean, I guess there's funding for it, I'm assuming, but what it is they want technology in the new vehicles when vehicles get made. And I think it's like 2026 or something like that. They want the new cars that are being manufactured to have some type of technology to prevent drunk driving. And I'm still figuring out what they're going to do, you know. And we know that in the next, you know, if they do come up with that, you know, I don't understand how they're going to do it. All I can say is that the law is truck drivers. Truck drivers can't drink, obviously, but can't even have it in the car or in the truck. It's DOT. It's federal law. No alcohol in the cab of the truck. And there's been a lot of talk about truck drivers. Well, once I park, that becomes my domicile. And, you know, I can have alcohol in there as long as I'm not driving. There's no rules. The law does not say that. It just says federal law, alcohol is restricted from being inside the cab. That's what it says. Doesn't say anything about once it stops and all that stuff. So I wouldn't even take a chance on that. A lot of carriers say no tolerance. You know, the federal government says, you know, everybody out there, if you're a four-wheeler driving and you know the law is that if you blow into the breathalyzer at 0.08, you're legally drunk. In truck driving, it's 0.04. So if they stop you and they have you blow in, you're driving a big truck and you blow in and it's 0.03, you're good. If it's 0.04, you're busted. So, but here's the deal. If you work for a big carrier, a lot of those carriers have zero tolerance. So it doesn't matter if you're legal. Like you go in and they stop you and they say, blow into this. And as long as it's below 0.04, you're legal. But if it's 0.02, you just lost your job. Because they're still going to file and, you know, whatever they do, I can't remember what it is, but they fill it out on paperwork and they send it in and you're done deal. Now, a lot of times it's you know, whether it's like after a crash, an accident or any kind of like inspection, but most carriers have zero tolerance, which means that, you know, no, zero. Law is that, you know, I mean, I don't even know what the cars are as far as like drinking beforehand, like in cars, you know, have a couple of beers at dinner and drive home. Okay. If you get stopped and you, as long as it's below a 0.08, it's fine. But if you tell them, you know, I just had two beers and you blow in and it says 0.02 or 0.01, they're like, okay, you're good to go. Okay. In trucking, the federal law says, if you go to a restaurant and have two beers and then drive your truck and they stop you and you say, hey, I just had two beers, you're busted, because federal law is 4 hours. So you can't drink anything 4 hours before coming on duty. So trucking has done a lot to prevent drunk driving for big trucks. And again, most carriers is a zero tolerance as well. Theirs is like 8 to 12 hours, not just four. So that's specific for, you know, it's pretty much just the night before, you know, you drink, you know, let's say you drink at 8:30 and you go to bed at 10 and then you wake up at 7 in the morning, you know, more than likely you're good to go. So that's why they do that. But the, the trucking industry has done so much to try to prevent drunk driving. And again, there is still issues where you still get drivers driving drunk in a big truck, even though the laws are so strict. But it's not that they work for big carriers and all that. It's a lot of these little, you know, people that you never heard of, or sneaking around doing things they shouldn't be doing and all that. You know, you still have issues. It's just not as much. Now, I'm really not sure how the government is going to try to eliminate drunk driving. I mean, pretty much what they want is they want zero. They want zero drunk driving. They want no one driving drunk at all. And so they want technology in the vehicle where it has to eliminate drug driving. And, of course, what we know is that's going to make, of course, everybody's talking about it on the news. It's going to make cars more expensive. I'm not real sure what's going to happen here later on down the road. We had backup cameras mandated in 2018. All vehicles manufactured from 2018 and beyond, all vehicles have to have a backup camera. Okay? So here's my question. When these cars, okay, so you're getting in 2018, is that 19, 20, 21? So now you're getting 4 years old going into 22. So now the car's 4 years old, getting into 5 years old. Okay? When these cars get up in years like that, and the technology, so it's got to work in order for it to pass inspection. Is that right? Like it's got to still work. So if you drive a 2019 in 2029, your backup camera has to work. Well, what if the camera doesn't work because it's old? You got to replace it. That's another thing you got to pay for to get fixed. I mean, dang, you know. So it, what does it do? It makes the cars more expensive to repair, makes the cars, I don't know, they should be cheaper to buy if those things don't work, and they got to work to pass inspection. A lot of states don't have inspections like that, you know, so doesn't have to work. I don't know. To eliminate drunk driving, I don't know what that technology can be. You know, you're going to have to blow in. You're going to have everybody's going to have a breathalyzer. You got to blow into the steering wheel every time you get in the car. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to do. But they were talking about that on the radio there for a couple of days ago. I just thought it was interesting because in drug driving, you know, they've done a lot of things as far as being able to drink. They've done a lot of things as talking about, you know, blowing in and a lot of companies that are out there, they have zero tolerance, all that stuff. I mean, maybe it just be that maybe they can lower the rate instead of 0.08, make it 0.06, make it 0.04 like trucks, you know, make it 0.04, you know, because maybe 0.08 is too high of a number. Maybe it needs to be lowered. You know, I think maybe people just need to be stopped being stupid. What I find out in my experiences, what I've seen, you know, just get knowing people and watching people and all that, is that the less, you know, the people that have more money, they drive drunk, but they don't, nothing happens to them. They have good lawyers and they have some type of leniency where they, or like I said, they can afford to take Uber or Lyft or whatever. So it doesn't really hurt them that bad. It hurts people that drive intoxicated that have less income because they can't afford to go to court. They can't afford, they're going to lose their job. You know, that, like I talked about it before, doctors and lawyers, they're out there doing drugs and drinking and driving and all that, but they don't lose their licenses. You know, maybe they should do that. They got good lawyers. A lot of times they get out of it without a conviction, you know, so yeah, it helps to have money, especially when you got those same people running for office, making the laws. You know, maybe the old truck driver that got elected up there in New Jersey, that truck driver, maybe we should get more people like that and go in and change the laws to help out the little guy, you know, eliminate some of these stupid laws where it affects the people that make less money. You know, a lot of, like I said, the legal system, people in there know it. If you've been involved in it, you know, if you got money and you can afford to pay a lawyer or pay the fine or whatever, all they want is your money. That's all they want. But all that kind of good stuff, that's all how it goes and how it works out. And, you know, it's a vicious cycle. vicious cycle. But, you know, hey, we're just rocking and rolling here and doing things, killing time. I guess waiting on, what time is it? Looks like the new episode of Yellowstone is about to start or is starting now. I'm a big fan of that. I'll probably catch it on the late show. I was going to do a video about that, about how to watch that. Your truckers out there that want to get involved in that, that's a big deal. You know, streaming services and are a great thing to be able for truck drivers to be able to watch good shows and follow the story and without having to catch reruns or whatever. When you get back home, you can do it out there on the road in your devices, even hook it up to the TV or whatever that you got in the truck. It's really cool. But other than that, that's what we do. here at Redneck and I, talking about the truck show, getting that's Matt's 2022, March 24th through the 26th. You can register at truckingshow.com. It's open now. And we're going to have a booth there. We don't know exactly where yet, but we're going to have a booth there, and we're hoping to set up our normal parking lot setup and have some great food and great entertainment and everything. So so stick around and stay tuned for that. But don't forget to go and like our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And then one of the other great sponsors we got out here, don't forget, is DPF Regeneration. They're the ones that started it all, been with us a while. You can check them out, dpfregeneration.com. You know, they clean those DPF filters. They sell EGR coolers and filters and SCR units. They said they're getting into charge air coolers and turbos and stuff like that. So go check them out, see how they can help you out. You can give them a call at 800-634-3010 or just give them a shout-out at dpfregeneration.com and let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we do appreciate them. So we're just going to truck along here and get things done, and I hope everybody has a good night out there and everything. But just do what you do, and hang tight. This is Redneck and I's Radio.
Well, the ICC is checking on down the line. I'm a little overweight and my log's way behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge on the scales all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. My rig's a little old, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from a stack and the smoke's pulling back as cold. My hometown's coming in sight. If you think I'm happy, all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
We'd like to send a shout out to all these great supporters. They hung in there with us through the beginning, and we couldn't have done it without them. GTS Enterprises, North Liverpool, Ohio. RM Transport of Chandler, out of Chandler, Arizona. CK Hunter Transportation, out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Peter Ramsey Trucking, out of Mountain Grove, Missouri. Dixon Transportation, out of Sarcoxie, Missouri. Lifetime Nut Covers out of Crystal Lake, Iowa. Iowa 80 Truck Stop out of Walcott, Iowa. SoCal Flashlights out of Los Angeles, California. My Right Load at www.rightload.com. And DPF Regeneration at www.webakem.com. Thank all of you for your support and generosity to Redneck and I's.
Tight where the leather fits. Watch out when he starts to twist. What the daddies used to tell him, boy, how to ride them bulls. I got a jingle in my jeans, sore places in between, and I'm leaving old Salt Lake with a push and a pull. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coop to fill. Chug-a-lugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Turn up that radio. Don't want to think about a rodeo. Don't want to think about a roundup up in old Cheyenne. Well, it's a crazy circuit. Bob is still you work it. Turn down that sound, boys. Let's get up and check the scan. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Don't forget, we're live here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. If you're following the conversation, just hit 1. And talk about anything and everything, just what's going on in the trucking industry. Don't forget to go over and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate that. You can check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Get all the links to our sponsors and to our social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and especially YouTube. We really do appreciate everybody subscribing to YouTube and following along and watching our videos and everything. We talk about a lot of things on YouTube. We talk about, we got some videos directed toward four-wheelers. So these videos are supposedly, well, I mean, I think that they help explain things to the regular folk out there that don't drive big truck. We got them about following distance, just giving truckers room. We got when truckers are turning to understand that, you know, truckers, they need the whole intersection a lot of times, especially the smaller intersections. So, you know, a lot of times as a truck driver, we're sitting there at the intersection waiting for the other vehicles to move because we need to use that room. And a lot of times they don't understand. And these videos kind of explain how to, you know, how they need to understand that. A lot of it is watching out for the debris coming off the big trucks, you know, don't follow behind too closely and everything. The other thing is just giving them the room that, you know, we like to change lanes whenever somebody's on the side of the road. We like to get over and get out of people's way. You know, we like to signal and let them know that they passed us or that they can pass us if they need to, you know, and everything. So we talk about a lot of that stuff. And then we also have a couple of videos. We got one video talking about triangles, talking about crossing the railroad tracks and with hazardous materials, stuff like that. So we got a bunch of YouTube videos that are directed toward the four-wheelers. And I think that's one of the coolest things that we've done here in the last year. We're hoping to make more of those, just, you know, trying to get stuff together and get that done. And but until then, we've got this great show. And what we do is we just take clips of the show or any kind of topics that we've been talking about, you know, whether it be life on the road, cooking, eating, shopping, parking, firearms, safety, stuff like that. We always talk about anything we can talk about to help truckers understand more about what's going on the road, especially the four-wheelers, about life out on the big road, stuff like that. So be sure to go check that out, and it's growing. We really do appreciate everybody subscribing to that and everything. So one of the interesting things that I saw last week, it was actually last week that I saw it. I think it's been out for a while now, but it's CNBC, and they're talking about shipping and trucking. And it says, so yeah, it's got 2 weeks ago. It says, why the trucking industry is so fragmented and chaotic. And what it does is it relates. It kind of puts them together because we're in the same business, the shipping containers and then the trucking. And a couple of things that they bring up is hiring drivers. And there's an owner of one of these companies. Let's see, what did I wrote it down. Maybe I didn't. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's a Dow Trucking LLC, D-O-W Trucking LLC. And it's the owner out of Moore, South Carolina. The owner is Latoya Hankins. Yeah. And she had some interesting comments that I thought were pretty interesting because they were accurate. But does it really explain why trucking the way it is? And, you know, maybe it explains the driver shortage, and maybe it explains why certain companies say that there is a driver shortage and other companies say there isn't. And she had to say like this here.
And the trucking industry has a very high turnover rate.
They're always looking for the next company that's going to pay them the most. It's not uncommon for a truck driver to have several jobs in 1 year, unfortunately.
And that is right there. And we talked about that before in the past where the trucking industry, the experts, all those people that run like the ATA and all those, they say there's a trucking shortage, a truck driver shortage. And the reason they say that is because a lot of the people they represent, the bigger carriers, well, they have a hard time hiring drivers. And the reason they have a hard time hiring drivers is because of qualifications. They don't want drivers that have bad records. And a lot of times a bad record doesn't even mean that they've had accidents or that they've had, you know, any kind of other, whether it be legal issues. It's basically that they've had more than one job in the last 2 years or the last year, and they don't want to hire anybody that might leave in the next 6 months. They want to hire people that are staying, that are wanting to work and stay there. And when you see a driver that has, you know, five different trucking jobs in 3 or 4 years, they don't like it. They're going to stay away from it. And, you know, what this owner here, what she's saying is that, you know, it's hard to find drivers because when they have those types of records, it's hard to get them hired. Whoever is supposed to be the one that's qualifying them to be hired, they're saying no. They're saying, no, we can't hire drivers to do that. So why are they doing that? Well, it's because they're looking for the better money. And a lot of times companies promise, but they don't deliver. You can have, you can have a good website that promises a good pay. You know, they go, hey, drivers, come work for us. We'll pay you 60 cents a mile. And the next thing you know, you find out that you're only running 2,000 miles a week. Well, 60 cents a mile at 2,000 miles a week is the same that I was running 3,000 miles a week doing, you know, 45 cents a mile. So it's the same. There's no more. I'm not making any more money. They're already looking for another job because it's like, well, I may be working less, but I'm not making, you know, not making more money. I want to make more money. I want to work hard and make more money. Now, there might be drivers out there that say, you know what, I'm fine. You know, hey, you pay me 60 cents a mile and I run 2,000 miles, oh, that's okay. But how many of them out there like that? Not very many. Not very many. It's drivers want to work, you know, especially over the road drivers. Now, see, that's even worse. Over the road drivers, you know, you're telling them to go out, leave home, stay away from home 2 weeks, and then go home for 2 days and then come back out for another 2 weeks. That's what you're telling them. And then you're saying, well, I'm going to pay you. And then come to find out they're sitting out away from home most of the time. They have to wait, you know. Remember when California hit that dry spell where there was hardly any freight coming out of California? And if you went out to California, you sat 2 days, you know. Or if you're an owner-operator and you're running down to Florida and you're making $3 a mile and you're trying to get at least $2 a mile to come out, it ain't happening. If you're willing to wait, you'll sit there and wait for that $2 a mile load, you know, but you're waiting. And as a company driver, you know, if you were working for an owner operator that wanted to wait, then you were waiting and you weren't getting paid, you know, and it was not your decision to wait. You like, just get me going. You know, you're paying me, you know, 40 cents a mile. So what if the load only pays 90 cents a mile? You know, I need to move. I need to make money. And if you're an owner operator trying to run a truck that's got another driver in it, that's hard to do. So you don't want them to sit because you want them to run because you don't want them to quit. You got to run so they won't quit. Next thing you know, just like she said, the driver has multiple jobs now just because the driver is trying to stay busy, trying to make good money, but the carriers aren't fulfilling what they promised. So that's one of the biggest reasons. It says on here, why is trucking so fragmented? Well, it's so fragmented. They relate it to the shipping carriers. And so the top 10 companies in the world that ship containers, it might even be in the U.S., but they make up 85% of all shipping. Okay. Now, if you looked at it and you said, top 10 companies in the trucking industry, how much do they make up? Well, they make up only 12% of all of the capacity. So you've got 88 to 90% of the trucks out there on the highway are all either owner operator or small fleets. That's it. So why it's fragmented is because of all of those smaller fleets. And we talked about it last week, where why don't they have control, they have the power, they just don't know it. They take whatever they can get, and sometimes they can't get very much, and they take it anyway because they don't know. Because there's so many out there. I bet you 60 to 70% of the single truck owner operators don't even know what they're capable of making. They just assume that, you know, the guy on the other end of the phone says, well, that load's only paying $2 a mile. And they're like, well, I guess that's all it's paying. They don't know. They don't do the research and understand that most, you know, if you go to those other websites and all that, they'll say, well, the average is $3 a mile. Well, if they don't look that up, they don't know that. And the guy on the other end of the phone says, well, all it's paying is $2. And then you say, well, that ain't right because the average is $3. So I should be getting either $3 or $3.05. You know, if I can't get $3, I should be getting $2.90 instead of just $2. They don't know that because they don't know the information. They don't look it up. And that's why the rates are low, because all these people that are trying to get trucks to haul, all they got to do is wait to find somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. You know? And that happens so often it happens. So that's just one of the aspects of that. That was an interesting video. There's a lot of information about that. I shared it on the Facebook page, and there's talking about Swift, Night Swift is what they talked about, how they're the largest, and they do $4.7 billion in revenue. The company is valued at $4.7 billion. And it says they did $800 million in revenue in 2020, is what that video says. There was some good stuff on there. I'm still reading along notes I took. Talked about the different issues of why drivers don't want, you know, why there's a driver shortage. If there is one, they pointed out the reasons why, and a lot of it has to do with. They said the number one issue is health related, which means they can't get drivers to pass a physical. I agree. I could see that. They said the number two was parking and wait time. Those are the top. The other two and three was parking and wait time. The drivers can't find parking, or it's too difficult to deal with parking, or it's just wait time. When they go to the customer, they got to wait, and they got to wait longer than normal. And that's the issue that I forgot who they said they talked to on that. I don't think it was a driver survey. I think it was a carrier survey. I guess when they during exit interviews or whatever, because one of the interesting things about that video is it didn't actually talk to any driver. It talked to the owner, fleet owners. It talked to the owner of FreightWaves, the media company. It talked to, those are the only two people. Other than that, they just spouted off information from the ATA, that kind of thing. So other than that, we're just kind of kicking back. Let's just go to the phone real quick and see what's going on. How you doing, sir?
Howdy.
Man, I tell you what, I was thinking all you guys on here on the phone were just kind of falling asleep, just listening, because nobody was hitting one.
Well, yeah, I was kind of thinking about that. So I get ready to go to bed here and turn Ed on and let him doll me into sleep.
Yep,
nah,
there you go.
I better push the one.
I can just lullaby people to sleep. My little world's smallest violin just to play in.
Yeah. But no, I heard it and I read it on Facebook that there ain't no truck shortage. That, excuse me. Damn it. That, you know, there is a lot of CDL holders, but all the things that have come through the years, we have lost a lot of CDL holders. You know, whether it be ELDs and that whole thing, and then every hours of service and different things like that. And then the latest is, you know, it costs more to truck out here. You go to the shops, they're all higher, parts are higher, labor's higher, mm-hmm. fuel costs are higher, oil's higher, you know, but yet the rates ain't matching what the, you know, what it's cost for trucking out here. It's not going up. In fact, they're trying to go the other way because they got to pay extra for everything else, that, and the rates are going down. Now, I don't know. In my job, our rates are going up. We're doing all right. And my owner of the company said that she's renegotiating now for 2022. Well, she's negotiating with the needs and what's going on in 2021 here. And if we would ever get our shit together and stuff come back to normal, then whatever contracts that are that locked in now will benefit next year. So I don't know. You know, it's something to think about. But
yeah. Well, the looks like this article here that I just clicked on. It's Time Magazine, and it came out on the 12th, which was Friday. And it says on it, their top line, it says the truck driver shortage doesn't exist. Saying there is one makes conditions worse for drivers. And I mean, what it boils down to is that the ATA is the one saying that there is a shortage because they're the ones that keep spouting it and everybody keeps believing them. But what mm-hmm. drivers have said is that a lot of these carriers, their working conditions are poor. And I don't, but see, as I'm reading here, what I say is that the working conditions isn't the carrier. It's not the carrier that creates the working conditions. It's when they go to these customers, and these customers, they don't care about the drivers. You know, when you know, right. like what Greg said last week, when you every time you go to the shipper, you got to walk into this office, and it's like a cage, and you know, they don't want to touch you or see you or hear you. They just say, sign in and leave your bills here, and we'll call you when we're ready. You know, it's like, why does a driver want to hang out and do that? You know?
Yeah, and, I hear you.
And that kind of stuff, and like I said in this one deal, it said parking and wait time, which means parking. You know, drivers have problems finding parking spots, and of course, I always say, like you've always said, you know, you just got to learn on parking because I don't think that issue is ever going to go away.
I saw on parking the other day, and I did the turnpike between Oklahoma City and Tulsa service plaza. I mean, it was so jam-packed full. I mean, absolutely full of trucks.
Yeah.
And so I went on. Well, the second one I came to, they were redoing the ramps to get into place, so everything on eastbound, you couldn't get into the place at all. So kept on going. Well, by the time I got closer and closer to Tulsa seems like they used to have some pretty good truck areas to park in, and their truck stops are small, and some of them aren't there no more. And then the Hard Rock Cafe there, they used to allow trucks on their lot. Now I heard the other day that they don't allow any semi-trucks parking on, yep. on any of their area. So parking around Tulsa is getting tough. So along the interstate there, they redid the shoulders, and they put, they had the fog line, and then they had the normal apron beside the fog line, but for right. miles and miles and miles, looks like they added on, oh golly, maybe 20, 30 foot wide strip of concrete off to the side, and trucks were lined up, parked along the turnpike, right along the side of the road. Well, I didn't have much choice. I was running out of hours and didn't want to take a chance to find something in Tulsa or making it up to on up the road in Missouri. I didn't think I'd have enough time to get there. So I went ahead and parked there overnight. You know, I was left alone. Nobody come knocking on my door. But you had the steady, you know, rolling of the highway all night long right beside you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like you're saying, what it's like an extra lane pretty much that they made for parking?
That's what it seems like. Seemed like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And but some of it had concrete, some of it had pea gravel. And I got a kick about, I don't know, 30 miles up the road The one trucker must have thought he could drive onto the grass and then come back on the pea gravel, and there was a tow truck pulling him out of the grass. So
yeah. Well,
I just don't like parking that close to the internet highway. I just think it's very dangerous.
Well, yeah. Well, you mean there's no barrier between you and in a you know, a wayward vehicle that loses control or, you know, starts skidding.
No barrier.
Yeah. Just like out there
no
in
barrier.
PA.
If a truck would fall asleep and veer off the road, he'd come right at you.
Exactly. You know, and then if, you know, so normally if two cars got into it and they skidded off the road, they just go off the road into the grass or trees or whatever. Now they go right into you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd never like that either.
I don't like that, but you know, sometimes you gotta do.
Yep. Even if I needed to pull off the side of the road and just check something, I always wanted to get off the highway, just get completely off the highway. I don't want to be on the shoulder on it for any reason, unless the truck just absolutely won't move. You know, that's
right.
Always been thing. So yeah, you're right. They seem to, the politicians or whoever's building the roads out there, he goes, well, we can't control the parking deal and we don't have enough parking, but we'll just create this little thing on the side. And, you know, maybe that's not what they intended it for, but that's what they did. You know, it's kind of like when
it looked like a chain up area, but I know nobody's chaining up that part of the country. So
exactly. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I remember Georgia. I don't know if the last time you've been out there, but when they rebuilt their interstates and made them bigger, they made their off ramps and on ramps bigger. And that created parking on the off ramp. And then they went in there and they didn't want people parking. So they put those big signs up to block it. So you couldn't park. And it's like, that's, you know, if you create the area, they're going to use it. And then you're going to have to put something, then you're going to have to spend more money to keep them off the area.
Yeah. Well, and then I tell you what, some of these truck stops, I'm at the Loves here tonight in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking out my left window, and there is room probably, I'd say, for 10 trucks here. But instead of making a truck parking lot, they put in pretty trees and landscaping and and stuff. It's like, hey, this is a truck stop. You know, if I want to go to City Park, I'll go to City Park, you know. I just, it's kind of silly how they got all this pretty landscaping they put in when they built this.
Well, that's the government, the mandate. If you know, you can't build a truck stop here unless you put up so many trees, you know, or a portion.
Is that right?
That's usually how it is. Is that when somebody comes in and wants to develop property to make it, you know, where it's, whether it's truck stops or Walmart or whatever, they always say, well, you got to have a certain percentage, 10 or 15% of the property has to be landscaped. You know, where trees, grass, or whatever. That's what they say. But, yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that explains it. Then. Why in the hell would they do that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pain to butt. Yeah, it is.
I ate them.
Yeah, you need to get something to drink.
Yeah, I did my redneckanizing barbecue today, and I had a hamburger. A little piece of that dry hamburger went down the wrong tube, and it's just tickling me there.
Yep. A little more than I needed to know, but that's okay.
Oh, really? I tell you, I had my redneckanized T-shirt on, and I was making videos today of the do-it-yourself trucker cooking on the truck stop, by golly.
Man, oh, man.
Did me up a pizza and some bratwurst and some hamburgers. Had a smorgasbord right here in the truck stop.
It's not that hard. People say, you know, they don't want to take the time and all that. And I was just always too lazy. I'd rather go in and pay for somebody to cook my food rather than me do it myself. So,
well, here the McDonald's is closed for drive-through only. Well, the drive-through don't fit the big rig, so I can't drive through. And
mm-hmm.
You get tired of eating Subway all the time. So, and a lot of these restaurants closed up because of COVID or people not wanting work and everything else. So I bought me a pellet grill, and I just do nice smoking and barbecuing on the road.
You know,
that works out pretty good.
You know, and I think all the McDonald's are still closed. I'm thinking that all the McDonald's in the United States are still drive-through only. I don't think.
You see them. I see them other places open, but they're remodeling this one. So.
Yeah. Well, that might be the reason. Yeah. Okay. Because I mean, I know that there's a Flying J that has a McDonald's on my route. And it's open, but the dining room is closed. Like you can't use any of the tables, but you can go in and order.
Oh.
You can walk in and order, but they still got all the tables closed. So it's like to go only. So yeah, it's still weird like that. That might just be because, you know, they don't want to open the dining room back up because then they got to hire somebody to clean. They can't afford, you know, or they have a help wanted sign out. You know, and that's been up for 6 months.
Oh, there's more doggone excuses out here not to help you out than to help you out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, I was going to step away and take a quick break. You going to hang out a bit? I think Greg wants to come on, too. So I think we're going to call it a segment and then bring it back on. So we'll
hang out for a while. Yeah,
yep. Good deal. All right, hang on a second. We'll be right back. I was going to tell everybody, make sure they go check out LTRtransportation.com, one of our great sponsors. You can give them a call at, 720? Is it right? Oh, man, I got to scroll. There we go. 720-277-0030. You can check them out at LTRtransportation.com, a great sponsor of Redneck and I's, and we really do appreciate them. So go check us out, redneckandis.com. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, and then don't forget to call in at 516-387-1733 and be part of the conversation. Just hit one. And we'll be back in just a little bit here.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race and the Fords and the Lincolns were set in the face? That story is true, I'm here to say, because I was driving that Model A. Got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced. And DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Justice was served on a rope. When evil was done, that was all that she wrote.
All right, everybody, somebody 516-387-1733. Subscribe along or be part of the conversation. We're on YouTube Live. It's really easy to get set up and everything linked in with what I need to do. And we're also on Facebook Live here. I know that you might look into that, so it's kind of pretty good. So, hope everybody's enjoying that. And like I said, we'll just spend a couple of things and talk about what's going on in
production.
And things are doing great, so we're going to go to the point here in just a second. I wanted to bring up one more thing. I was talking about that video, and one of the things that she said, that owner of that Dow Trucking LLC, was how they really can't afford to pay drivers more because of the competitiveness of the race. Let's see here. So I wanted to bring her in and show this clip of this audio that I got here. So let's play that.
The second big issue is labor. Competition among trucking companies for drivers can be brutal. This is in part because there are so many of them and there is not much that differentiates one from another. The employee-driver turnover rate in the industry can be quite high, about 80% at larger carriers as of September 2021. A lot of that turnover is made up of people moving from one company to the next.
With truck drivers, they tend to jump around different companies, just depending on who's paying the most.
Hankins would like to retain more drivers, but frequently finds people are lured away by the promise of a pay increase as modest as a few cents per mile.
When we do feel like there's a good driver that we're going to have for a while, there's another company that could pay them an extra 5 or maybe even 10 cents more, and I can't, you know, compete with that. I know that's not a lot of money, but over a course of per mile, it tends to add up.
Several of the largest trucking companies have raised pay in the last several months. Knight-Swift raised pay to 50 cents per mile for experienced drivers. That means if a driver covers about 100,000 miles per year, they can make about $50,000. Median pay for the industry was $47,130 in 2020.
So, yeah, there you go. So I was going to bring the guys in here and let's talk about it a little bit and see what they thought. There's Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to bring, I think this is Greg, too. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing, Ed?
Man, I tell you what, I'm getting through it. I was getting worried about you guys sitting over there just listening along, not paying attention.
I just sitting here paying attention today, trying to behave myself for once.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Yeah, we were... That video, it was really interesting. It's a YouTube video that CNBC put out. It says, why is trucking so fragmented? And really what it is, what they're blaming it on, they're blaming it on drivers just jumping from carrier to carrier because they just, you know, they're just chasing that money. And, I mean, I think that's what we're all doing, just chasing that money, you know.
Well,
and
you know, I don't understand how hard is it for these companies to understand. All they have to do is pay attention. They see the drivers doing that, and when they see the drivers changing jobs 2 or 3 times a year, you know, or whatever, because they're chasing the money, like you said, if they want the turnover, to all they have to do is start coming up with some money. You know, start treating the drivers like people instead of like, you know, a commodity. They think, well, the trucks can run 24 hours a day, so can't the drivers. Well, you know, the drivers are getting to the point, I said it, I got a little tiff with a trucking company on Facebook, and I'll call them out, True North. All right, they're down around Texas somewhere. They're starting this company at True North Logistics or whatever they are. And they're begging. I mean, these companies are begging for drivers, begging for trucks. And every time I pull it up, I see the same questions on there. Well, and one of the questions is a question that I always have. Well, what's your age limit on your equipment? Well, they always tell you, well, it's got to be ELD, you know, you got to be ELD compliant. You got to be it's got to be capable of running ELD. Okay. All right. Now, that being said, okay, I understand that. So, well, and the one question she said was, the answer she gave this guy was, because it helps the drivers stay compliant and helps them keep their bottom line down. Wait a minute. Now, what does ELD have to do with helping the driver, you know, keep his finances straight? That don't get me.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, you know, you got all these new trucks, and you know, I'm not going to start a piss and match because guys want new trucks, guys want to run the older trucks. I prefer my older trucks. Some guys like their newer trucks, and that's fine. That's fine. I got no problem with that. But they're complaining that they need trucks and they need drivers, but then they want to pick and choose. Of what they got. There's some older, there's some beautiful old trucks running around out here back in the 80s and 90s. These trucks are mint. They're in pristine condition. But because they can't plug their electronics in and their computers in and their cameras in and this and that, well, they don't want them because the companies, it comes down to the companies and the insurance companies are so damn nosy. They want to have control of everything. They're like the government. They want to control every minute of your life. And it's like, you know, that's why these guys chose to drive trucks, because they didn't want to punch the time clock. If you want to punch a time clock, you could go to work in a mill and you could have been home with your family at night every night. They didn't want that.
Right.
All right. Now, to what Jeff was saying real quick, I'm going to get a little bit of humor here going. Him complaining about Loves and their trees. All right. Now, Jeff, with that being said, there's another truck stop, two of them. They do the same thing. They got trees, and they got trees growing in their parking lot, too. You know, and I can't stand either one of them truck stops. I'd take my chances on Lowe's with a truck with a tree growing in their parking lot rather than go to TA or Petro or Pilot, because the trees that they've got growing in there has signs on them that says reserved. Reserved parking spot.
Those they're big closed. Yellow trees.
They're closed. There's big... signs on them. That's their trees.
I agree. You know, and Greg, I'll tell you what. This one here, Tupelo, is probably one of the earlier truck stops. On the, you know, right. Loves. It's one of the old ones. You know, the new ones, I tell you, a lot of these new Loves that they're building, and they just realized, you know, when they built the business the right way, Loves has. They take care of the customer. You know, when you walk in the door, the very first thing that you hear in that establishment is welcome to Loves.
Yes.
You hear that over and over and over and over and over again. When you buy something, they thank you. When you're in the aisle, they ask you if you need any help finding anything. I mean,
when you go buy a shower, you actually talk to somebody, and that person actually hands you a key rather than just going to a computer and getting a number to go to into a closet.
Loves now has got the app on my phone, which I'd rather go get than I would a key anyway. But they really cater to the trucker, and then they sell gasoline, but I don't think that's their main purpose. They really catered to the trucker, and you ask them, they said, we'll never put reserve parking lot on our lot as long as the Love family owns the corporation. They will not do it, you know.
Kudos
and
to them.
Since they have pulled all the business now from the Pilots and maybe also Pilot Flying J, but TA Petrol, if there's a Love's on the corner and there's a TA Petrol, you'll wait in long lines to get fuel at a Love's before you will, because everybody that I know has switched over to Love's because they really take care of you. Their loyalty program is nobody has a better loyalty program than they do. But they thank you for coming in. It's just nice to be, you know, when you spend all your life on the road like most of us do, and you go into a place and they act like it's like oh God, I gotta wait on you, you know, or they don't want to talk to you, or you're, you know, they pull a race card on you. And I tell you, you know, the TAs and Loves, TAs and Petros, you go to an all white store, and they treat the black guys coming in, I think they treat them like shit. But if you got an all-black ran truck stop, I feel like, you know, like they don't want to take my money. You know, you ask them a question and they bite at you. You never get that at a Loves, you know. And Loves, in fact, says if any of our customer employees, let us know, because that's not what we're about. We're here to help you, the trucker. And
I remember,
you know, they're putting speakos
in. Pilot was the same way.
Well, and
when
Pilot
first started out, Pilot was a nice little truck stop.
And I agree with you. When I first started trucking, I mean, that was in the late 90s, and Flying J was, like, awesome. Like, you wanted to go to the Flying J. because that was the best restaurants. Now they got all the restaurants closed and they got the Subways in them now and crap. You know, used to every Flying J had a restaurant. Every Flying J had a large area that had lots of showers and a big driver's lounge, and they stopped doing that. You know, now it's part of the pilot thing where there's no driver's lounge anymore. You know, you can't even like I remember when I would always find the Flying J. That's when I wanted to watch a football game or something was going on TV. You can always count on the Flying J to have that, but now it's gone now. That was back in the day. But the Loves was better because they had, you know, three or four registers. You know, they knew that they were going to be a smaller truck stop. They weren't trying to be this huge truck stop with like this all the shopping. They just, we got what you need. That's about it, you know. And they got three or four registers, and there was always somebody at each register. You go to a Petro or a Pilot, and they got like 9 or 10 registers, but they only got like two of them working, sometimes only one. And it's like there's a long line, but you're like, you know, you feel like you're at Walmart. Like I mean, why are all these registers here if you don't use them, you know?
Right.
And at least at the Loves, you knew, well, if I got to wait, it's because they only got three because, you know, and it's busy. Now, if a lot of times I go in there and the lady's at the one and there's might be two or three people waiting, the manager will walk out from his office and he'll step up to the other register and he'll go, yeah, I can get somebody over here. You don't see that happening at the TAs that much. I mean, the TA and Petros, the managers are off in their other buildings up on the second floor or something. They're hid. They're hiding. They don't want to be around you.
I'll tell you what, these new truck stops that I'm seeing, like the Quick Trips, and there's a few other, I saw another Quick Trip the other day. I didn't even know they were in that state. You walk in there and you can buy hamburger, you can buy steak, you can buy all, it's like a little mini grocery store. They got a huge selection of meat, but they got a few fresh cuts. They got some pork chops. They got some fresh vegetables. I mean, they got
most
gallons
of them all have
of milk, half gallons of milk.
Yeah, you can order pizzas and you can actually get little groceries. You're right. I love Quick Trip. I said the only thing wrong with Quick Trips is they don't all have showers. There's a few that do have showers that are in like a bigger city. But a lot of them are just fuel stops. They got a little bit of parking, and they got fuel pumps. But other than that, it is just a little small little gas station that has a lot of stuff. And you know what? You go in, if it's busy, it doesn't matter. You're going to get in and out pretty quick. Those guys, not only do they have every register going, but the guy every person at the register is handling two people at a time. That's their thing. Get in and out. Get going.
And there's there's a new chain in Texas that is starting to be more like a grocery store truck stop. Because I really think they're getting to be more and more guys like me that fix their own meals in the semi-truck.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there's all kind of cooking going on. I agree with you. Yeah. So, but, you know, as long as whoever you're talking about, it's not Bucky's because you can't park there.
No, it ain't Bucky's. Them cotton pickers, I'll tell you what.
Man, I tell everybody, don't go to Bucky's. Even in a four-wheeler, don't go to Bucky's because they don't like truckers. They don't want truckers. They plow down all that grass and trees around the interstate and pave it and make a big old parking lot. I mean, no trucks allowed.
Well, I did see a Bucky's the other day, and I was shocked. It had diesel fuel pumps on it.
Nope.
And it had place. It wasn't a Bucky's as we've seen. It was called something else. Bucky's.
There is
and
a few Bucky's
yeah,
in
right.
South Texas that have diesel pumps, but it's just like an in and out. There's no parking, nothing like that. So it's few and far between.
They burnt my bridges. I wouldn't go to them if they would change their laws and saying we'll take any. Any trucks, anybody, because they are just no way.
People that I know live here go to Bucky's. They love going there because, of course, they can get anything they want. But they say the barbecue's good. I tried it. It ain't that good. I don't know. I'd rather go to a decent barbecue joint.
I got a short story on Bucky's. I was in Texas, tailing. And I pulled on. I didn't know what Bucky's was. Didn't know they didn't like truckers. I pulled in and far side of the parking lot. I went to bed. Pulled the curtains. Went to bed. About 4 o'clock in the morning, the manager, a woman, and three of her male employees. She brought male backup out of the truck, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And she woke me up. And she says, can't you read? I says, yeah. I said, I see a sign, great big. They had a sign made as you walk, come in. It was like 20 foot long on 4x8 sheets of plywood. No 18 wheelers allowed. All right. So she said, can't you read? I said, I sure can. I said, who are you?
Can't you count?
I'm the manager. She goes, I says, well, how did you become manager? Can't you count? She goes, what do you mean? I says, I got 10 wheels on here. I said, your sign says 18 wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
She goes, well, you knew what we meant. I go, no, you meant you didn't want tractors and trailers on here. So I'm going to sleep. She goes, well, it's illegal for you to park here. I says, really? I says, then call a federal marshal right now. She goes, what do you mean? What federal marshal, why? I says, because you're asking me to move off the lot and break my federal mandated 10-hour break. So if you're going to kick me off the lot and call the law, you better call the right law, because I would love to take you to court on this. And I will take picture of your 20-foot sign, and I think I would win. So I said, if you want to pursue this tonight, I'm trying to sleep, and you're interrupting me. So why don't you all go back inside, mind your own damn business, let me go to sleep. And she goes, well, I'm telling you now, don't you ever come in another Bucky's parking lot again. I says, you know, I won't. And I wish I could take the $60 worth of stuff I bought from you tonight back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Can't you read? I go, yep. Can't you count?
which one was that at? Do you know?
Oh, golly. It was the big one over on east of Dallas.
Yeah.
Going towards Freeport.
Yep. I know which one you're talking about. Yep, cool deal. That that one hasn't been there that long. So, yeah. Hey, I think I got Robbie here, too. Let's see.
What's going on, guys? I haven't talked to you guys in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there you go. The guy's dropped off the face of the earth over there on the West Coast.
Oh, no, I was doing stuff at home, and then I couldn't get a load, so people don't want to pay.
That's how it is. Don't want to pay, it ain't going to get hauled.
I'll just sit at home instead of sitting in a truck stop. Greg knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've been home since last Monday, and I got no intentions of going out anytime soon until they straighten their ass up.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, I was so mad at you flatbedders the other day, I could have about, if I could have stopped and got out and leveled this guy, I would. But I was coming out of Milwaukee, and he had an oversized load of steel on, and he started crowding me over in this little construction road. And, you know, what do? You got to get over, try to, you know, you don't want to hit the guy. And as soon as I got inside, right beside him, he started clapping and laughing like that was really cute what he just did. And I tell you, I just don't
understand. All of them's got a name on the door. All of them's got a name on the door. All you got to do is get a hold of their company and tell with them. Dumb, you either do something with him, because when I get off the phone with you, I'm calling the state police. I'm turning him in. I don't give it a damn if it's a dry van, a flatbed. I don't care what it is, a bobtail. I don't give a damn if he's walking with a trucker hat on. He does something stupid, I'm calling the company anymore. I'm tired of the nonsense.
It's a good idea. And I'm trying to think if I even could see a name on this truck. It wasn't really a pair, you know. But who's got time? When I tell you, well, I drove. I don't know. Do y'all drive to Milwaukee much or in Milwaukee?
Where the hell is Milwaukee?
That doesn't go
Wisconsin.
On my map. That's not on my map.
Oh, I picked Trader up from downtown Milwaukee.
I ain't talking much about Milwaukee since Laverne and Shirley got off.
I can't. I'll never go back. I told my company, put it right beside California and New York.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been doing construction for 20 years now up there. So.
Yeah, I was up there a couple months ago, and I didn't care for it then. Don't think a whole lot now.
You know, it's funny that we're talking about parking and everything. I mean, that's probably one of the big traveled areas right there between Milwaukee and Chicago. It's a busy highway. Lots of shippers and receivers right there. There's not hardly any truck stops along that route. I mean, there's a few when you get into Milwaukee right there, but there's not any hardly in Illinois at all. And then parts of it's even parked like a toll road where you got to rely on, you know, that kind of parking, which is bad. I mean, they you know, it's so funny. We're talking about parking like that, and the toll roads, they went in and said, well, we're going to build a bigger area. And, yeah, they got this huge parking lot for all these cars, but the trucking area is still small, you know, and they didn't do anything. It didn't really help anything out at all, you know. Not like Ohio did. They did a pretty good thing where they put showers in and all that stuff too. So, I mean, at least they tried.
I was headed to the Silver Slipper Saloon. There's enough truck park on that lot for probably, I don't know, 200 trucks, and only 5 or 6 ever go in there.
Big companies
don't want to put their trucks on a stripper parking lot.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I was told a few years back by Rich, the one that I bought my truck off of, before he retired, that's what he used to do. He'd go down like, from here to he always run down south, down Georgia, Florida, where he used to go down and go to all the strip joints down there, and he'd park out back. Well, when I got his truck and he cleaned everything out, I found a card in there. It had a phone number on the back of it from one of the stripper cards. And I handed it to him one day over there, you know, being the wise ass that I am, always cutting up, carrying on. Tiff and all of them was over there. I said, hey, Rich, you might want this card back. He said, why? I said, well, I said, your girlfriend down there at whatever it was, it wasn't a Deja Vu, it was, I can't think of the name of it now. I said, you might want her phone number. It's wrote on the back of his car. Oh, no, he turned all red face. He said, oh, no, that ain't what that is. That's the manager's phone number there. He'd give me that card, put his number on, and said, if I had any problem parking out there, anybody start bothering me, just call him. He'd come out and run him off. I said, yeah, that's what they all say. But he used to all the time. He used parking places all the time, but not anymore. I don't care. I pull right up in behind the scales. I don't care. And I didn't think I'd ever do that as old school as I am, but anymore, if I get tired, I roll right up in behind one of the scales. If they're closed, pull up there and go to bed. The only one I won't do that in is Tennessee. Tennessee will not see me. I won't even cross their scales, let alone sleep in the scale. Kentucky, I'll roll up in there and sleep all day right there behind the scale house. I don't care.
There you go.
Yeah, I tell you, me either, especially Kentucky. They even got driver lounges in most of theirs now.
Yeah, I have never had any trouble out of Kentucky. Tennessee, me and them boys was on a first name basis for years. I don't like them. They don't like me. I'll keep it that way.
Man, oh man. Well, and on that note, the number one stripper song in the world. Talking about parking at strip joints. Hey, sometimes those are the best places, though. Like you're saying, nobody parks there.
Them and men's bookstores, there's a lot of truck parking on it. You don't have to worry about getting hit because the big companies don't like their company drivers going in there.
You know what, though? There was a store, like you're saying, an adult bookstore, videos, whatever, but it was right there down the street from the Walmart DC up there in Denton or north of Denton, whatever town that was, but it's the Walmart warehouse in the middle of nowhere.
Lublin.
Yeah.
Lublin, Texas, and the DC up there.
I went down there delivering. I had some pods or something on there, and it's not there anymore. They leveled it out. It's a dirt lot now.
Yeah. See, you was hanging out down there too much.
No, I would go into that Walmart DC a lot, and that's where I would go to park because there's like two truck stops. There's a Flying J down there, or a Pilot, whatever, and that's a cluster. And then there's another, like, I think it's a Valero now, but it's a dirt lot, and it's just a bad part of town.
Huh.
Man, oh man. But yeah, that is one of the places. I mean, like, everybody, you know, a lot of times you always get it where, oh, we don't want truckers. They bring all that bad element around here and all that. But why is that, you think? Well, we see them parked over there at the strip club or parked over there at the adult bookstore or whatever. And it's like, man, they're just parking. We're just trying to find a place to park. We just want an empty parking lot, you know. And, I mean, I just, a lot of those places, they got big, empty gravel lots. They're easy to get in, easy to get out. And, you know, no pun intended. So, but I mean, it's just the way, that's what it is. We just need a place to get off the highway. But yeah, you know, I think a lot of people would be surprised at the, I don't know, just truck stops bring great business. They're always busy, and truckers are always spending money. So I think a lot of local communities would like that revenue coming into their local areas. So that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
I just wish they'd break back the trucking lot entertainment, the truck parking lot entertainment.
What? What are you talking about?
No.
Well,
don't answer my question, Ed. Use your imagination.
Ed, don't go down that rabbit hole.
The only thing I'm thinking of is the CB entertainment. That's all I know about.
It was always fun watching the little rabbits play.
Oh,
it's time to go to a commercial break.
Yep. Cue the music.
Cue the music.
Hey, it's after 8 o'clock anyway. We're all wrapped up around here. I think we're all done. I think you guys are having a great night. And everything's great. So appreciate everybody for joining in, calling in, listening along, following along. Like I said, we're on YouTube Live and Facebook Live as well. I hope all the sound was good for that.
Be a good future topic, I think. What do you think?
I don't need to talk about it at all. I'm good. you want to go talk all about right. it, you walk into them TAs and start talking about it. They'd love to talk to you about that.
All right.
Hey,
good night.
You find someone in the TAs or bitches to talk to.
No kidding. Nobody talks. Everybody, like I said, they're all in their offices. They're hidden away. You know, a lot of those, when I go to an old TA or an old Petro, they've got all these empty rooms with boxes and stuff in them because it used to be this huge truck stop, and they just shut it all down because they can't make any money off of it, so what's the use of having it? You know, it doesn't provide anything
Isn't it the Petro down in Glendale, Kentucky still have the phone booths, but they have a bunch of boxes in them?
Yeah, I think so. I've seen Flying J's like that.
Yeah, it was the last time we were down there.
Yeah.
Just like the Petro in Atlanta had, or even the one in West Memphis. Of course, we know these are bad areas. They're not well as far as, like, you know, there's a lot of crime and a lot of stuff going on around there. But they have these little shopping strip centers with different businesses, and it was really convenient for truck drivers to be able to go to those businesses and get things done, whether it be to work on the CB, get some taxes done. You know, they have, like, occupational health, stuff like that, get physicals and everything. Well, they've even shut all that stuff down where it's just empty. It's just empty places, you know. So that's what they've done. So, yeah. But
they pretty much ran everybody out.
Exactly. Because they raised the rent too high and you know, truck drivers don't – and I guess we're not using it enough, I guess, is what they claim it. But anyway – like I said, it's after 8 o'clock. I think we did a good show, and I think I want to wrap it up and try to catch the latest episode of Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, see who goes to the train station tonight.
Awesome. Yeah, I do do like the going to the train station. If you guys go on the app, I'm gonna do a video about this explaining how to get on there. But if you go to the app of the Paramount Network, that is where you can watch the latest season 4 past episodes if you need to catch them later or whatever. But also they've got the behind the scenes videos that you can watch, and that stuff's really cool because you can go in and see it, and they just talk to all the different actors, and you get their opinions, and you meet some different people, and they've got this thing where they have a bunkhouse session where all the guys in the bunkhouse talk about what they think about the show and what they think, and it's just funny, it's fun and entertaining, and it's cool to see different people's perspective, especially when they actually talk with the writer. If you guys watch the second episode, the guy Travis, the guy that has the character that has the horses that he's trying to hire to train horses, that's Taylor Sheridan. That is the writer of the show, the creator of the show. Taylor Sheridan plays the character Travis on Yellowstone. Yep. But he's been on there in the past, and now he's back.
Ed, you kind of have to stop right there because Greg hasn't. I don't know if he's caught up. He should be caught up. He had all week to watch shows.
No, I'm caught up, man. I've had enough time at home. I'm up, man. I'm ready for tonight.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Like I see that thing on Facebook today. It said what the Republican Party needs now is a few less Lynn Cheney's and a lot more Beths.
Yeah, Beth does.
Yeah.
Yep, I think that's going to be fun.
All right. I'm out of here, guys.
Good deal.
Talk
right
to
now.
You next week.
Hey, right, I'm out of here, too.
All right,
have
sounds
a good.
Good.
One.
Later.
Right, good deal. Good deal. All right, well, everybody have a great evening out there. Like I said, we're going to shut it down and get to watching some Yellowstone. So thank you for Facebook Live over there for everybody watching, and appreciate people watching on YouTube Live. And let's knock it out. This is Redneck and I's Radio. We're live here Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. There won't be a show the week of Thanksgiving or the week of Christmas, we know, because of travel plans with the family and all that. But also there won't be, like I said, we'll still have shows the other weeks, like 7 o'clock Eastern Time, Sunday evening. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. Like I said, we're also on YouTube Live, Facebook Live. Go check us out at redneckandeyes.com. And don't forget to check out all our sponsors, DPF Regeneration, Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app, and, of course, LTR Transportation, Load to Ride Transportation. Go check those out, and we appreciate everybody for following along. Until next time, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you on down the road. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you've got a redneck and eyes.